There's no sound quite like a bus. Even the casual, disinterested observer can usually distinguish the sound of a bus from a truck or other large vehicle. But the whole equation changes when the bus glides in under electric power. And that is precisely what will happen in the near future when Lane Transit District, based in Eugene, takes delivery of a handful of electric buses. Let's learn more about the plan. Andy Vibora is the Director of Customer Services and Planning for LTD and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Andy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Jeff.
So electric cars have been around for a while now, and it seems like that's all stable technology. How established and stable are electric buses at this point?
Well, we would not have pulled the trigger, I don't think, on purchasing electric buses had we not felt that the technology had moved to a position where both in terms of cost and the range, it was in line with what our goals were for testing out the technology. So we're pretty comfortable. These buses have been out on the road long enough and have proven themselves that we're going to get our feet wet with the first five coming up this year.
When do you expect delivery?
They're finalizing the contract now, and I was a little bit surprised. They're saying probably June. That's a little bit quicker than when you buy either a diesel or a diesel hybrid bus. Sometimes those lead times can be as much as 18 months, depending on the orders that they have in. But this is new enough, and I think we got in early on the production cycle. So June, a couple of months to get the buses ready, so probably have them in service for fall when our service change happens.
So what is the range? You mentioned something about the range there. So that's always been an issue with electric cars. And considering how far I imagine a transit bus would have to travel in a day, this could potentially become an issue.
Certainly was with the earliest technology. A lot of the first technology electric buses were what they would call a quick charge bus, which took a lot of infrastructure. So you can imagine the buses pulsing into a main station and having a structure that would either go above the bus or below the bus that would deliver the electrical charge to charge it back up. Those buses were only getting about 30 miles in terms of range, and so you had to have that infrastructure there. The challenge with that technology really was that infrastructure cost and then the timing of having those buses, you know, come into the station, and, you know, if they were above 50% charge, that recharge time might be 3 or 4 minutes. But if it was below 50%, that could rise to 8 to 10 minutes. So it really dictated how you scheduled your buses. But now we've always been interested in the plug-in buses where you plug them in overnight, they run all day. And the range on those has come up significantly, to the point where the vehicles that we are purchasing, they estimate between 150 and 180 miles a day. Our average for the types of service that we schedule in town is about 135 miles a day per bus, so we're feeling pretty good about the range.
Seems like it fits right within what you're normally doing then, yeah.
It certainly does, and you know, one of the exciting parts about this particular vehicle that we're buying, the battery technology is proprietary to the organization that builds these, and they're one of the top manufacturers of this type of technology, both for cars, buses, lots of different electrical appliances in the world. And so one of the things that was a concern to us beyond just the range is just the battery life itself. And we were excited in the bid that this company, which is BYD, is guaranteeing the batteries for the life of the vehicle, which is pretty significant in terms of cost savings for the district over the life of that vehicle, which is federally dictated to be a minimum of 12 years.
Okay, so 12 years for a bus, and then the battery good for the whole time is what they're saying, or at least they'll make sure that you're held harmless on battery replacements. So do these work just like electric cars now? I mean, are we talking about just plain old plug-ins with fairly standard voltage, or are there still some special accoutrements you need to charge up the electric buses?
Part of the purchase price does include a charging unit per vehicle. So one of the things that we're going to do is we were planning a bus lot expansion next spring anyway. So we're going to be adding some spaces to our bus lot, and it gives us the perfect opportunity to lay the infrastructure for the electrical cords that need to go out to the vehicles to charge them. My guess is it's not probably your typical 110 that you would have in your house. I'm thinking I don't know the exact specs on it, but I'm thinking it's probably at least a 240 and possibly a 480. We we had purchased some plug-in hybrid buses back in 1999, so we had some of that infrastructure in place on our lot, and I believe those were 480.
Okay, I understand those plug-in hybrids were not particularly successful for you.
They weren't successful for us or any other district around the country who purchased those vehicles. I think that we all, you know, everybody wanted to kind of get into that hybrid market, and unfortunately the large bus manufacturers just really hadn't entered the market, and we're probably doing some R&D, but this vehicle that was purchased was really an electrical engineering firm that had the idea behind how the technology might work, that partnered with a small shuttle bus manufacturer, and the concept was pretty interesting and exciting. Unfortunately, the technology just didn't work very consistently. So I think it's one of those good lessons. You know, you want to be able to help the industry move forward, but sometimes when you're on the leading edge of technology, you sometimes get burned a little bit. So fortunately for the industry, the large bus manufacturers were literally only years behind in terms of developing that technology and delivering it to the market.
Do you feel like instead of being on the leading edge this time, you're sort of safely in the middle?
Yeah, that's really, I think, the kind of the cautious approach we took. The board of directors back in 2000 adopted some policy language that talked about us moving to more environmentally friendly vehicles, really based on several factors, cost and reliability and availability. And so we've been watching the industry and again, being pretty cautious, but we've been pretty excited about the tests that have been going on and those that have put these buses in service. So felt like it was a good opportunity to give it a chance now, and we feel like the technology is pretty solid.
We're talking about electric buses with Andy Vibora, the Director of Customer Services and Planning at Lane Transit District. They should be having 5 plug-in electric buses showing up about the middle of next year. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange to discuss the product and the plans for it. 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, I mean, is it something that specifically helps Lane Transit District with any costs, or was it just you're trying to be nice for the environment, or what was the combination of reasons for doing this?
I think it's both. The district's had a long-term sustainability policy and recently actually upped the ante on that to develop an environmental and sustainability management system under the International Standards Program. So the International Organization of Standards has different standards for employee health, safety, environmental sustainability management. And with that plan in place, it's really to prevent pollution and take a higher look, more intense look at how you handle hazardous materials, the protocols you have on your property in terms of managing those things to protect the environment. So it's really been a path that the district has been on for a long time in terms of, you know, really wanting to walk the walk. And so I think from that environmental standpoint, we were being consistent with our values. On the cost side, though, it really does appear to pencil out. So the diesel hybrid, the 40-foot diesel hybrid buses that we've been operating for a number of years now, showed about a 35% increase in fuel economy. When you do the math on these electric vehicles, there's a conversion rate because obviously you have to have an energy source that charges these things, so there is a cost to it. And the equivalency comes out to about 18 miles to the gallon, which is about 3 times or a little over 3 times the fuel economy of the hybrid buses. So we do believe that it will save us money in the long term.
And how much per bus then?
On the cost per bus?
Yep.
Cost per bus, these vehicles came in at $709,000, with a piece of that being the charging units, which I understand were in the $10,000 to $15,000 range. So probably, you know, $700,000 is a good number to use.
And how are you paying for them?
We are using the last of some grant funds that we had. In the past, the federal transportation bill, not this most recent one, had what was called discretionary grant program. So districts could apply for purchasing capital projects, whether it be a facility or buses, through a federal program, and didn't guarantee anything, but we were pretty successful over the years in being able to get those grants. and then you put up the local match to purchase those. So we had a little bit of capital money left over from some previous sources, so that's exhausted that, and it was certainly a concern for us moving forward if the new transportation bill didn't have a discretionary grant program. So we're happy to say that the federal transportation bill that was signed by the president last week does reinstate a discretionary grant program. Again, it doesn't mean we're guaranteed, but we're hopeful that, you know, in future purchases we'd be able to tap into that resource again.
And so I understand you announced the purchase at a Sierra Club event. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Sierra Club nationally, I think, took on the topic of electric buses and around the country. And we were one of the, I think, three locations around the country where they tried to do some field organizing around that. And I think that it was a good opportunity for us to partner with them on this particular event. I think that the intention of their work was initially to encourage us to look at buying electric buses, and once we got cleared up the fact that we were already going to buy the buses, it became more of a supportive role for them. So they had talked to individuals and businesses around the community, had people sign cards, you know, recognizing the direction that we were heading, and presented, I think, about 1,200 signatures at an event that we hosted down at our transit station. So it's something that was a good opportunity to highlight the purchase and highlight their effort around, fleets changing over to electric, whether it be transit fleets or other governmental fleets. It's something that's on their radar screen, and we were happy to be able to partner with them.
Andy Vibor is our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange, Director of Customer Services and Planning at Lane Transit District. We're talking about the all-electric buses set to arrive about the middle of next year. Are there any differences inside? I mean, are there any things that you had to cut corners on to make these lighter or more energy efficient or less bright in the inside? Anything that people will notice differently about the buses other than that they creep up on them quietly?
Well, they are quieter, and actually, you know, when we moved from diesel to hybrid, the 40-foot hybrid buses that we operate now are one of the quietest transit buses that I think I've ever been on. And so that was a big improvement just for the customer comfort. You know, some of the older buses were pretty loud. And so, you know, the technology getting better and again, smaller engines in the hybrid buses and then no engines in the electric vehicles, just the drive motor. So that certainly will be a customer convenience on the inside of the bus. It can be a concern on the outside of the bus as it comes into a stop or station, especially for people with disabilities that might not hear the vehicle coming. So, you know, we ran into that a little bit with the hybrid buses that we use on our bus rapid transit system that we call MX. So one of the things that we did with those vehicles that I don't think will be necessary with the electric buses and the environment they'll be running in, but with our MX vehicles, we actually added more of a trolley bell so that the driver rings a trolley bell as it enters the station, just so, again, people are paying attention and stepping away from the station curb. So it is something that you have to have a little bit of a concern about, and the drivers do need to pay attention because they certainly will be quieter than a standard bus.
I was going to ask you if you had any additional noisemakers, and the answer is yes. The trolley bell sounds like a good way to let people know that indeed the vehicle has arrived. Tell us about the hybrids now, and give us an idea of what the all-electrics and the hybrids make up as a percentage of total fleet.
Currently, our fleet is about 50% hybrid buses. We have, I think, 106 or 108 active buses in our fleet. And some of those, the peak number of vehicles we have out in service in the afternoon is probably around 82 or so. So 84, somewhere in that range. And so the rest of those buses are what are called spares. Spares are used to rotate in so that you can pull buses out for preventative maintenance processes, or if a bus does have a breakdown or is involved in an accident and won't be in service for a while. And then the third category is what they call contingency. So those are buses that have been retired but can be used once a month, can be kept in the case of an emergency. So currently we don't have anything in contingency. We rotated some out that we donated to community organizations this past year, and then pressed everything else back into service because we're really ramping our service back up. We have a three-year, about $3.3 million investment in service that we've implemented the first year of. So right now we're at about 50%. The 10 buses that we're getting this coming summer were projected to be hybrids. We did change that to 5 all-electric and 5 hybrids. So we'll probably be, creeping up on about 60% or so, either hybrid or all-electric.
Andy, I noticed that these BYD buses come from China. Were there any other options for such a purchase, any domestic manufacturers at this point?
Well, in fact, you're required when using federal funds to buy America. So, in fact, while BYD is a Chinese company, it has a plant in Palmdale, California. There really only are a couple of U.S. manufacturers. The other big manufacturer that we've purchased buses from, or there's two really that we've purchased vehicles from. One is Gillig, and they're in Hayward, California. They're an American company. Been there for many years. The other vehicle that we run currently is what's called a New Flyer vehicle. They're actually based in Canada, but they have a plant in Minnesota. So these buses do meet all the Buy America requirements. And so we're excited about that. Sometimes you can get a waiver if you're looking for a particular vehicle that just isn't manufactured in the United States. The government will allow you to get a waiver to look someplace else in the world, but we haven't had a need to do that.
All right. So you figure they'll arrive about June is the schedule at this point?
That's my understanding, yes.
All right. We'll be interested in seeing what the electric buses are like when they hit the streets in Eugene and Springfield. We're talking to Andy Vabor, the Director of Customer Services and Planning at the Lane Transit District. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange to talk about the electric buses.
Thank you, Jeffrey. You have a great day.
You too.